We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and Abe is unfortunately not here. He's still on a vacation call, we'll call it that. But Out Now is a film podcast where normally Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then we have to do special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something a little bit different. And this is something a little different because it is our annual Oscar prediction episode. That's right. For the past several years, we have had an episode recorded days before Hollywood's biggest night to talk about the Oscars and our predictions for what's going to unfold on the evening of said Academy Awards. And then, of course, we'll have a follow-up show recording right after the Oscars end to go over the damage or the celebration, whatever you want to call it, that happened on said Oscar night. But for now, we're just going to predict them. So joining me to discuss the Oscars, our predictions for said awards, we have from noirartour.net and the award-winning podcast Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla, it is Terrence Johnson.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Also joining us from Fast Film Reviews, it is Mark Oben.
Hey, great to be here. Always fun to talk about the Oscars.
How are you both doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here, and I have a lot to talk about.
I'm here. It's been a busy week, but I'm here.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have you guys here. I do enjoy your thoughts on the Academy Awards and our predictions or what have you. So it is nice to have you both back. And yeah, that's what's going to happen here. We are just going to go through all the 24 categories. Are we still at 24?
Might be at 25. Right?
Are we at 25? I forget. We have we've added casting, but I still think it's an even number.
It's 24.
It's 24. Okay, that's what I thought.
What did we get rid of?
I don't.
Maybe sound.
No, it's because sound combined. Was it just 23 for a couple of years? I guess so. Then right.
I want to say yes.
I mean, we've only added one category. We've only subtracted one category. So.
Yeah, it's 24.
Yeah.
I guess we were just at 20. Yeah,
we're just at 23 for like a few years there. So now we're back at an even number of awards. So yeah. Yeah, that let's just get to it. We're going to go through the various nominations here. We're going to start at the bottom of the list, and by bottom I mean the shorts, and then we'll go through the techs, and then the bigger ones, and so forth and so forth. It's pretty straightforward here. This should be a pretty simple episode until we start arguing with each other about arbitrary things such as animated short or what have you. So here we go. Well, like, let me set the stage a bit. So before we get this, are you guys excited for the, like, you look at this list of nominations? Are you excited to see like what's going to play out here?
I don't think I'm ever not excited for the Oscars. Even when they mess up and don't pick the right movie, I still even take pleasure in like, wow, that was a choice. So I think I can sort of extract enjoyment regardless of how things go.
I'm just ready for... I just think award season is too long.
That's true.
I agree with that.
The Oscars in mid-March... Even though I know that's where they typically used to be, but just like we're in such a different place now, media wise. But I'm intrigued to see what's going to win. There's a lot of really competitive races, which I think is good. But yeah, I am ready for the season to be over.
No, I would agree. I agree, Mark. I'm always excited to watch the Oscars regardless. And I actually like this batch of films quite a bit. So I'm like excited to see.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how things play out. I'm also excited. This feels like a real race. Like there's a number of categories that do not feel decided as of yet. So that's always exciting when doesn't feel
with
like
the exception of Best Actress.
There's
spoiler alert. I think they're all kind of up in the air.
There's one or two like supposed locks, but there's a good amount of like wiggle room for a lot of these two, depending on what the Academy's feeling. So we'll see how that plays out. All right, now let's get to it. Let's get to our first category: documentary short film. We have All the Empty Rooms, Armed with Only the Camera, The Life and Death of Brent Renaud, Children No More, The Devil is Busy, and Perfectly a Strangeness. Terrence, let's start with you. What is your prediction for documentary short film?
I did what you're supposed to do when you're trying to think of how to predict the shorts, which is 5 minutes of light research. honestly, like people who just randomly fill out an Oscar ballot have a better track record of guessing the shorts than people who do. So this, I took even less time than I did last year. I put All the Empty Rooms, just I figured from what I read of these is sort of one of the more emotionally taxing ones. And that tends to work for documentary short.
Fair enough. Mark, how about you?
So I also went with All the Empty Rooms. At the risk of sounding a bit pretentious, I have seen all of the shorts this year.
So have I.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Look at you guys.
And I do have a tendency to kind of just go with what I enjoyed the most. So, this was a very heavy category. I mean, with the exception of Perfectly Estrangeness, I think they're all pretty heavy-handed subjects. But I do think that All the Empty Rooms was the one that kind of touched me the most. So I'm going with that.
I'm going with it too. It seems to be in the realm of how you could have favorites when it comes to short films. That seems to be the one that is like the favorite. So I have All the Empty Rooms as well. Yeah, this was there have been heavier Doc Shorts lineups in the past. So I was watching this one. I was like, well, it's oppressive, but it's not without merit.
Parents look at the rooms of the children that have been murdered in school shootings and talk about it. That's a pretty tough sit. So, you know, I was a little bit, it's gut wrenching,
but which only speaks to just how much darker they can get. If I'm saying this is a lighter bunch compared to the others.
Yeah. And there is sort of he approaches it from the idea, let's honor their memory. And it puts a sort of as positive of a spin as you can possibly do, but it seemed to be at least kind of honoring their memory in a way that seemed touching.
Yeah, no, the merit of the film is not right. To be questioned for sure. I agree. Okay, let's keep going. Let's get to live action short film, and here we have Butcher's Stain, A Friend of Dorothy, Jane Austen's period drama, The Singers, and Two People Exchanging Saliva. Terrence, what do you have for live action short film?
I haven't seen these, but I've heard of three of them. So it was like, I was like, what mood might the Academy be in? Are they in Two People Exchanging Saliva, which sounds very absurdist? Jane Austen's period drama, which I actually heard of on TikTok, which also sounds absurdist, but is, you know, sort of in a different mode.
It's very literal.
Yes. Yeah. It's a literal period drama.
Yeah, which I think is great. And that's one I definitely want to check out because I love Jane Austen. So, but I went with The Singers. The Singers. It was on Netflix.
Okay.
That was my rationale.
Mark, how about you?
Yeah. So this was not my favorite, but I decided to go with Two People Exchanging Saliva. And it had to do with the idea that I think sometimes in this category, they go with sort of the quirky, funny comedy or you know, as you said, Terrence, absurdist kind of idea. And I'm Not a Robot won last year, and that was sort of in that same vein. So I'm going with Two People Exchanging Saliva.
Mark, you kept asking me if I had seen the shorts and what I thought of them, and now I finally seen them. I don't think you should be surprised that Two People Exchanging Saliva was my favorite of the live-action shorts.
No, I can accept that. But I just, without getting into a
full review, I'm not trying to compare our thoughts on it. I'm just saying that's the one that I'm going with, but also it was my favorite of the shorts.
I'll say this. It's shot in black and white, and it has style. So
sure. It's also the weird one, which is exactly my logic, just like yours, why I think it could possibly win.
It's the weird one, right.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Though Jane Austen's period drama, I think there's a lightness there that I think they might respect. None of these are incredibly deep necessarily, or is there dark, but Jane Austen's period drama also leans into the fun of that, I think, might also capture the attention. Like, wasn't there a documentary short a few years ago, that one that was about women and India or something getting their period and having tampons, that was,
yeah,
right.
And then the speech was literally, I can't believe the Academy just awarded a film for about women getting tampons. They said something along those lines. But we'll see how it goes. All right, best animated short film.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Period. Yeah. It's called Period. End of Sentence.
Oh, that was the doc. Thank you.
That was the doc that you're talking about. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, it won in 2018.
Nice. All right. Animated short film, Butterfly, Forever Green, The Girl Who Cried Pearls, Retirement Plan, or The Three Sisters. I'm going to go with Mark this time. What do you have for your animated short film?
So for its combination of artistic visuals and emotional storytelling, I'm going to go with Butterfly.
Okay. Terrence, how about you?
I went with Retirement Plan.
All right.
And that was just a guess.
I have Butterfly as well. I enjoyed this crop of shorts, the animated shorts, quite a bit.
I did too.
All pretty fun. The Three Sisters took a turn as far as what that was going for. It became a very horny movie. Not what I expected. But no, I quite like Butterfly. I do think that both the animation and the kind of what it's going for is thematically, I think, are quite interesting. I'm always a sucker for stop motion, so it was hard to not pick The Girl Who Cried Pearls.
Which so that's my well, personal like,
yeah,
that's my personal favorite. Are you're familiar with the Brothers Quay?
Yes.
Oh my gosh! So this movie is so unsettling, and it kind of gave me that kind of feeling, that mood.
I can see that. Yeah.
I truly like. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't a fan of the whole thing is narrated instead of just the characters speaking themselves. I would have probably preferred that they just speak. But aside from that, I thought it was really kind of hypnotic.
I can agree. I also think those are all the reasons why the Academy wouldn't pick it to win. It's like
it's weird.
It's too weird and it like weird and dark. I don't think play well for the Academy with the short films. Right. I think it's what if it's weird and light, that's more their speed. I think Butterfly. But Retirement Plan I know has a lot of fans as well. So
yeah, show.
But anything could be. You know, maybe they'll go for Forever Green, which I thought
I'm not
sucked,
saying
but
these with any degree of certainty. I'm
aware.
I'm
very aware. But we'll see how it goes. All right. Out of the shorts and into the fire. Fire and Ash, I should say, because we're at visual effects. The nominees are Avatar, Fire and Ash, F1. That was an incredible segue, by the way. I'm sorry. I just need to call it.
It was, but now that you've commented on it.
I was too impressed with coming up with that on the spot.
You should just keep going.
Avatar, Fire and Ash, F1, The Lost Bus, and Sinners. Oh, sorry. And I missed one here. Jurassic World Rebirth as well. Mark, again, what do you have for best visual effects?
I went with Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Terrence.
Avatar.
It kind of feels like a safe bet, right? Avatar. It's
yeah.
I think it swept the major guilds.
Yeah, it swept all the guilds. That said, you do have two best picture nominees in here. Like,
right.
If there was ever room for an upset, I wouldn't be surprised if Sinners mm-hmm. walked in with it.
I think F1 would be the one to look out for there.
Or even F1, yeah.
Yeah. We shall see. But it's
Avatar. Means Jurassic World. Is winning.
No,
it's The Lost Bus, a movie that four people saw. Glad it's in there. I'm sure they're great special effects.
That reminds me, I still have to see it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch The Last Bus. I wanted to watch it just because I liked everyone involved in it. I just never got around to watching it. And Apple's like, why don't we put it on just Apple? I'm like, this movie seems like it's a pretty large-scale movie.
It's like, something that happened right here in California. So, you know, it's like it's about our state.
Yeah. And our state's representative, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, my gosh.
on the bus. That's what he says, I think, in the movie. All right. Next up, we have sound. We have F1, Frankenstein, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and Surratt. Terrence, what do you have for best sound?
This is a really good lineup. And I was torn between, are they going to try and be cool and interesting? Or are they going to be like, we can reward this movie here because we're not going to reward it any other place. And so I went with F1. Not that F1 has incredible sound. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be undeserving. But like Surratt is just sitting there for them to. What was the Jonathan Glazer?
What about the
movie?
Zone of interest.
Like
I thought the same thing. Like the sound design is such an intrinsic part of that film, so that would be a nice win.
It didn't win that though, right? It just got nominated, or did it?
No,
it
won.
Zone of interest. No, it won.
Oh, okay. Totally won.
I was trying to remember. Yeah, okay, cool. Mark, how about you? What do you have for sound?
I went with F1. I think that's one of the. You know, it's one of those exhilarating kind of films, and I think the sound is a big part of that. So,
Yeah, I'd be over the moon for Surratt, of course, but I think when in doubt, go for the action film is where I'm at. And even though Sinners and One Battle do kind of flirt with action, I think F1's the most purest in that kind of realm. Plus, it did win various sound awards. It's not like it's unprecedented for it to go on to make. And again, they're all best picked. Like, these three are at least best picked nominees, which doesn't hurt it either. So, all right. Production design. Here we have Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, and Sinners. Mark, start with you.
I went with Frankenstein.
Terrence.
Frankenstein.
I have Frankenstein as well. Is this going to repeat itself for the next three categories? Is that what we're going to do?
You're already doing. Are we doing costume and makeup
and makeup? Frankenstein.
What I like to call the trifecta.
The trifecta, which only a few films have achieved, but given the way Frankenstein's kind of slaughtered the competition throughout the
it's definitely most.
So I can tell you, Aaron, it's Amadeus, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Mad Max Fury Road, and Poor Things.
Yeah.
Those are the four films that have won all three.
Tracks. We're still in production design. Frankenstein, yes. I think that we all have it there. If it becomes a sweeping night for one of these, for Sinners or even One Battle, I could possibly see it split. But just Frankenstein seems like the movie exists to give us production design from Guillermo del Toro for this movie. So it's
One Battle would be really cool in that
it's locations.
It's contemporary.
Sure.
I'm thinking but it's not like a musical like La La Land, right? But it's still got some really fantastical elements. Like I just think about like the rug that unfurled onto the floor, the locations and the way that they use them, that office building at the end. I think, there's some good production design, but yeah, I think it's got the most.
Yeah.
Got the most.
I mean, you got big old towers, lightning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Costume design, Avatar, Fire and Ash, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, and Sinners. Wouldn't it be wild if Avatar won only, like, it lost visual effects but won costume design?
That'd be unreal.
Do we all have Frankenstein again in this category?
Yes, Frankenstein.
Yes.
Frankenstein, okay. So, Terry, you didn't get to go to that exhibit, right, for Frankenstein?
No, I didn't.
So I got to see these dresses up close in the costumes, mainly the dresses. And, like, any of these, if you've seen any of these costumes up close, they probably look amazing. But it was really impressive to look at the Frankenstein dresses.
This exhibit, was this at the Oscar Museum?
It was in L.A. It was like a pop-up thing that Netflix did for him where they had this whole, like, museum. I put a lot of pictures up it on my Instagram and Facebook where it's just a layout of all the production and costume design of the film, even some of the miniatures and whatnot.
Awesome.
It was pretty cool, and it's... But the dress, like, you just see the stitching in these dresses. It just looks so amazing. Mm-hmm. So, like, so elaborate for what they're doing. But yeah, we all think the Frankenstein's going to win here. I think it kind of has that on lock, but we shall see. Let's see. Makeup and hairstyling. Next up again, we have Frankenstein, Kokoro, Sinners, The Smashing Machine, and The Ugly Stepsister. We all have Frankenstein once again, I suppose.
Yes, but this is a better category.
Yeah, interesting category for these choices.
I just want to give a shout out to Kokoro, which is just a phenomenal film. I am miffed that it like popped up here in makeup and hairstyling, though it is very deserved. And it got boxed out of international feature.
It was a strong year.
International feature was a tough category.
Yeah, so it's like it's interesting, but yeah, Frankenstein is going to take it for Jacob Elordi alone.
There were a
yeah.
bunch of movies that got boxed out of international feature that I think people are upset about.
But no, you're not wrong. The makeup lineup is pretty. It feels like they did the homework,
right?
Change, so like
I like that when it's not just the standard, Sinners, One Battle After Another, etc.
So yeah, you have the Japanese film here, which I haven't seen it yet. But Mark, did you see Kokoro?
I have not. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's like 3 hours. So
good.
I have to prepare for that.
You prepare yourself, but it will also It'll also be good. I could have stayed there for a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, I've seen movies like that where I want it. So I can imagine it's.
Yeah, so you have the film that's, you know, focused on like kabuki and mob and gangsters and old Japan and like, so that, you know, make it and makeup, that's great. Then the Smashing Machine, which, you know, yes, there is a significant work that's being done to make that, to make, you know, The Rock's transformation effective. And then The Ugly Stepsister, that's a perfect movie to put in this category, and I'm glad it's here. It's super gross, but also effective. So I'm all for that. All right. We're moving, stepping away from the trifecta that is The Frankenstein Wins, and moving on to our newest category, casting. Here we have Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, and Sinners. Now, this is an interesting one because there's no real precedent here. All you can really rely on is just kind of the, what, like SAG, I guess, kind of.
Go, Mark.
What do you have to say?
I was just going to say, I mean, Best Ensemble at the Actor Awards was Sinners, so that's my pick.
Terrence? Yeah, Sinners is my pick. It would be my pick even if it didn't win SAG.
I mean, I have Sinners as well. I just do have to wonder if there is a, like, you look at like The Secret Agent being in here, which is a cool thing to have in here because that's a very specific, it's a
interesting choice. Yeah,
it's a best pick, but I mean, it that reflects again, I think, the Academy actually like, looking into this and make, seeing like what makes sense for this category. And yeah, that's what
can
we're,
I,
like,
I it's just lesser- say sentimental value. I mean, it's like nominated in four categories for acting, but then yet it missed casting. So this is just one of the sort of anomalies that makes Oscars.
It's kind of my point. And I mean, I'm sure it's just right there at number six or something like that, but something like Secret Agent, even Marty Supreme, they're films where that's, you're focused less on like the ensemble of actors and talent they brought in and more about like, what is defining this world that we've created for this film? And that's something The Secret Agent, I think, very much does. You have a host of actors here that, regardless of their star power, they still convincingly make up this Brazilian society that the film represents. Same with Marty Supreme. You have this, you know, 50s New York where it's I mean, that movie does have a weird assortment of cameos for people in that movie, but regardless, it does have it's built up of people that are, make up a believable, like, New York of that time period or what have you.
It's why I don't like Hamnet being in this category.
Extrapolate
in that, like, my bigger picture concern for this category is like The Secret Agent is a very cool nomination, but like everything in here is nominated for Best Picture, and I am intrigued. Like, the short list was like really fascinating, and I'm intrigued / worried that like as we go on with this award. You know, it's. I was gonna say Black Panther was obviously nominated for Best Picture, but like, you know, that everything is gonna keep coming down to like the main films that are in the area, and we won't get wilder swings like for in indie movies that get cast really well and like generate, you know, interesting people. So yeah, I
can see what you're saying there. Like a film like Sorry Baby would be really interesting to see in casting like that.
Yeah,
an assortment of different kind of actors, and it's making up an ensemble that's unique, and it's obvious. I mean, you know, that's I'll be really interested when the stunt category comes along and how that's going to play out when it comes to what are we awarding exactly and what kind of things make it up. Mark,
I will say the best casting category for The Secret Agent, I do find that to be a bit of a recognition of Tanya Maria, who the actress who played that Doña Sebastiana in the movie, the older lady. I thought she was a very kind of captivating presence in that film. So, I mean, of course, the movie is, I mean, it's casting, so it's many of the roles, but I thought she stood out to me.
No, it's a good,
I mean, the casting of it, of The Secret Agent, is quite incredible. Like, to the point to where I was like, I had to have seen this random extra number three. I was like, I've seen them in something. And it's like, no, that's just a random person. But it just felt,
because they make just enough of an impression. But it's like, well, you can't acquire a supporting actor, but like,
yeah,
some way to like incorporate that. That's why, yeah, I've always been pro casting as an award. I think that's just a really good award to have in your, to make up your body. All right, so we have Sinners for this one. Next up, film editing. Here we have F1, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. Mark, what do you have for best editing?
for my favorite car chase of the year, one battle after another.
All right. Terrence?
I also have one battle.
I have one battle as well. So we all studied a lot in the same area here.
It's a strong category. I mean,
it is.
Any one of these, I mean, F1, I could see.
F1, again, the action factor. I mean, I do think it does make it. Right. I'll take that back all the way.
Yeah, Ford versus Ferrari.
Ford versus Ferrari, Bourne Ultimatum. Like, any number of these movies, they can win.
The Matrix, Bourne Ultimatum.
Did be great. Honestly, on my those, Oscar, all
those Oscar wins are some of the coolest things they've ever done.
Yeah. And I remember when that happened, I think it was Jon Stewart that year, and he's like, someone just did well in their Oscar put ballot. And I'm like, yes, I did, Jon. Thank you. all right. So next up, we have cinematography. Here we have, I guess I can start reading some names here for these. Dan Lauston for Frankenstein. Darius Kanji for Marty Supreme. Michael Bauman for One Battle After Another. Autumn Durald Arkapa for Sinners. And Adolfo Veloso for Train Dreams. Terrence, what do you have for cinematography?
One Battle After Another.
Mark?
Okay, so, I mean, if you had asked me maybe 2 weeks ago, I would have said Sinners. But then One Battle After Another got the American Society of Cinematographers and the BAFTA, and it just sort of almost flipped the script at the last minute. So I'm going with One Battle After Another.
Yeah, that's why we do this so late. It's just not decided.
It totally changed.
It could make a whole difference here because, yes, the ace really pushed it over the edge for me. Because this is a tough category as well, but I'm at One Battle After Another. I would have loved to see, you know, Train Dreams get some more.
That also was that was up there at early on. Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not going to count out One Battle, which has some beautiful imagery.
Yeah,
I think with Sinners and One Battle, it's going to be the battle between, like, I think that I Lied to You sequence is gonna like, obviously it's very stuck. It's more like the singular moment versus like maybe the more I think One Battle is a little more comprehensive in people's mind. Like, it has the action. It has the, obviously Sinners has this too, right? So it's like splitting hairs. But I think,
do you wonder if, because PTA is so involved with his cinematography, I mean, Michael Bauman's credited here, but it's like, it's a joint effort, I believe.
Well, he took his name off, and he's not a nominee, so we...
No, but do you think... I mean, it's not like it's stricken from the record. I mean, the Academy's not dumb. They know that he's involved with his movie.
Like, I don't know.
And he's been shooting his other movies for the past couple of
years. Did he shoot There Will Be Blood? Did that win cinematography?
No, it didn't win it, because that's
Diving Bell and Butterfly?
It did win cinematography. I was thinking it wasn't Deakins, because Deakins was No Country that year. Deakins had two that year. Deakins had No Country and something else and lost because I think he split his own vote.
Yeah. I think One Battle.
Yeah, no, I think One Battle also.
I would be thrilled if it was Sinners.
It's a close category for sure. Yeah. But we're all picking One Battle, so that's interesting, because
I think the ace and BAFTA do like help in like settling the mind. But and they're both like, they're both giant, but they're, you know, they're using VistaVision and 70mm and all this stuff. They're doing all these fancy things. We shall see. All right. Next up, we have the original score. We have Jerskin Fendrix for Begonia, Alexander Desplat, Our Best Friend from Frankenstein, Max Richter from Hamnet, Johnny Greenwood for One Battle After Another, and Ludwig Göransson for Sinners.
Now, what the hell is Max Richter doing here? I just had to put a stop in it before we get into the nominees. Not because it's a bad score, because I like it, but like the very thing that got a previous composer disqualified, if you remember from Arrival, for using that Max Richter song that they then use in a very key moment in this movie, and he is here nominated. So it's just very funny.
It is a weird turnaround, because I know they've adjusted. I know they adjusted the rules.
I call it the Johnny Greenwood rule, really.
Because they kept canceling people out for like weird reasons.
If it is called original score, leaning on previous compositions, to me, should be disqualifying. But, you know, the music branch will do. We you never know what they're doing.
Well, it seems like they work really hard to disqualify everyone they can.
Yeah, it's the Johnny Greenwood would, and now he's here.
I was going to say, is this his first time he's actually been nominated?
No, I think he got nominated for something else.
No, he got two. He's got Phantom Thread and Power of the Dog. Yeah. Okay.
Power of the Dog was the one that I
know he's been knocked out like multiple times at this point. Yep. Because of these rules. So
yeah.
All right. Regardless, Terrence, what do you have for the winner here?
Congrats, Ludwig. What is this, Oscar number 3, 4?
He's been nominated at least 4. It's, I think it'd be his second.
You're well on your way to becoming John Williams.
Yeah. Methuselah himself.
Yes. I said Methuselah's age.
This is a Godzilla podcast.
That's a deep cut from a Godzilla podcast. Yeah.
He won for Black Panther and Oppenheimer.
Yeah. I forgot Oppenheimer.
Okay, so yeah, okay. So this will be number 3.
Doing well for himself. Mark, what do you have for best score?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, music is such a intrinsic part of this picture, and it's actually was my favorite thing about the film was the study of music and that culture. So, yeah, Sinners.
I have Sinners as well, and yeah, the way that it applies itself to the movie thematically, as well as just being, you know, good music, I think it really, mm-hmm. really helps in this category. That said, strong category. I mean,
our best friend is there. So.
Our best friend Alexander Desplat is there, yes. But also, they like that Jerskin Fenn. They like him just like pounding on pans and cymbals and stuff. they really like Lanthimos gets his boy involved and starts doing his thing. So. It's a good score. I've listened to that score quite a bit, actually. It's nice, but it does. I've seen his setup. It does feel like just random objects, and sometimes he just like hits with a stick, and like makes the sound out of it. But hey, where's my Academy Award? I'm not hitting anything with sticks to get an Academy Award nomination. So whatever.
Yeah.
Goranson, by the way, has 5 nominations. 2 because of song, because he's on the Rihanna song,
right?
Lift Me Up, and he's on I Lied to You.
Yeah.
All right.
I Lied to You is the song in Sinners that did that sort of like collage of different. Okay, mm-hmm. That was like one of the greatest moments of the year. So yeah.
It's also why it won't win best song, because nobody knows what the hell I Lied to You is. They just know it's that scene from Sinners.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to I listen to it on Spotify. Well,
I know what it is.
It depends on if they do like how they submit these things to the Academy. Is it just the song, or is it the sequence, or is it you have to watch the whole movie?
Well, I can't speak to it, but I'd imagine they probably send you some kind of, if you're watching it, I'm sure they send you some kind of montage. Yeah. And this is the one instance where it's like built into the film, so it's really easy to associate it with it. Speaking of best original song, we have Dear Me from the widely popular documentary Diane Warren : Relentless, music and lyrics by Diane Warren.
I found out that's actually sung by Kesha.
Great.
Yeah, just a little bit of information I found out.
We have Golden from K-Pop. Thank you, Mark. We have Gold. I'm sure it's a great song.
Yeah.
Sure, it's wonderful. It's up for an Oscar, of course. Golden from K-Pop Demon Hunters. Music and lyrics by EJ, Mark Sonnenblick, 24, Ito, and Teddy Park. I Lied to You from Sinners. Music and lyrics by Raphael Sadiq and Luca Gordon. Sweet Dreams of Joy from Viva Verdi. Music and lyrics by Nicholas Pike. Train Dreams from Train Dreams. Music by Nick Cave and Bryce Dessner. Lyrics by Nick Cave. Does anyone not have Golden on this one?
I just want to speak to that. Golden showed up on my Spotify Wrapped, as did probably all the other songs on that soundtrack at the end of the last year. So yes, Golden is my will win and should win.
They wisely put the eggs into the Golden basket, even though I do not think it's the best song in K-pop Demon Hunters.
Which is your favorite?
Your Idol.
Yeah, I mean, I love it all. So
the Saja boys, once they turn into demons and start trying to steal people's souls, is really great. I
like Takedown. It just gives me a good one up on what they're up to. That's what they do.
For a long time, I thought it was going to be I Lied to You. But, like, it hasn't won anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't know if original song is going to like surprise if it's been competing with Golden all of this time and still hasn't won anything significant.
Again, it would have to be this like Sinners just ends up winning everything kind of sweeps where it's like, yeah, okay, I guess it wrapped it up also. But no, Golden just seems like it's so ubiquitous with the music of last year and let alone the, you know, the most zeitgeist grabbing animated film. So
yeah, I mean, it's kind of a cultural moment, and I almost feel like even if you don't like the song, at least acknowledge that it was, you know, it mm-hmm. occupied a space in our pop culture.
It went number one. Environment.
Yeah, there was like five or six songs that all went to, you know, Soda Pop. I mean, that song, listen to it once and it's like instantly catchy.
You can't see me doing the shoulders in this audio recording, but yeah.
All right. Now we're at documentary feature film. We have The Alabama Solution, Come See Me in the Good Light, Cutting Through Rocks, Mr. Nobody Against Putin, The Perfect Neighbor. Mark, what do you have for best documentary feature?
I have The Perfect Neighbor.
Terrence?
I also have The Perfect Neighbor.
I have The Perfect Neighbor, too. The documentary board obviously frustrates all of us all the time. So it's
them and the music branch. You just never know.
I think The Perfect Neighbor feels like a pretty good bet for a variety of reasons. One thing, it's on Netflix, which never hurts. Mm-hmm. But also just the way it's dealing with certain subject matter. That said, Mr. Nobody Against Putin, I don't necessarily need to see like films involving Russia and Ukraine win over and over again, but at the same time, things like keep becoming more relevant in recent weeks, like before Oscars happen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's right there. That's not nothing. So I wouldn't be surprised if it suddenly leaned another way and went that direction. But The Perfect Neighbor does feel like it has been winning the most and seems like it's lined up that way. It certainly seems to be where the consensus lies. So, but that's proven to be a misnomer before when it comes to the documentary branch. So we'll find out. All right. Next up, we have animated feature. Arco, Elio, K-pop Demon Hunters, Little Amelie or the character Rain, Zootopia 2. Mark, what do you have for animated feature?
I have K-pop Demon Hunters.
Terrence?
Those directors and producers should just stand on the stage when they start announcing nominees. It's going to be K-pop.
I have K-pop as well.
With that said, I mean, Zootopia 2 was it actually ended up being the number one film box office wise of 2025. So if it did win, I guess I could sort of understand why, but I do think K-pop Demon Hunters is so much more sort of innovative in a way that Zootopia, which was fine, but not, I mean,
I just think K-pop Demon Hunters just like literally shook the fabric of the zeitgeist and the industry.
It captured the zeitgeist industry. Yes. And
it made Netflix put a movie they put on streaming into theaters.
Uh-huh. So. Right, and we know how much they hate doing that.
Yeah.
God forbid.
It had the attention of the world in a way where, yes, Zootopia 2, you know, huge box office hit, critical favorite as well. It's not like it was it's not like it was badly reviewed. Yeah,
it's great.
But the first, the other thing is, it is a sequel. Right. And unless it's this kind of world-shattering sequel that like outdoes the first one significantly, that doesn't tend to play when it comes to this kind of thing. And
did Spider-Verse 2
lost
win? It lost. Okay.
Yeah, it lost to Miyazaki right. being like, "I'm not retired." And the boy and the heron.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
But it. Yeah. No. There's. I don't have all the things in front of me because I know like certain things depends on the category as well. Because not, you know, there's frankly just not too many animated sequels that happen all that often, let alone ones that are, you know, billion-dollar hits, let alone ones that are considered good at the same time. So it's like, it just doesn't seem to occur all that often. But meanwhile,
It would be a shock for Zootopia, but I could see it.
Also, they do like Disney, but that's not a guarantee either. And I don't want to say they hate Netflix, but they've certainly gone out of their way to not award Netflix all the time. So it's a, you know, things happen. Although technically it's a Sony movie that's just parading as Netflix, but whatever. All right, moving up, we have international feature film. We have It Was Just an Accident, of course, from France, The Secret Agent, Brazil, Sentimental Value from Norway, Surratt from Spain, and The Voice of Hind Rajab from Tunisia. Terrence, what do you have for international feature film?
The Secret Agent. I think Brazil is having a really nice moment.
Mark?
I have the 9-nominated Sentimental Value.
I have the Sentimental Value as well, and it is tough because, yes, the Secret Agents are, I mean, they're both Best Picture nominees, which never hurts. It's not like the Secret Agent doesn't have its respect as far as a Best Actor nomination. It's a well-acclaimed movie. But, yeah, Sentimental Value has a lot. I mean, it has a Best Director nomination. It has all of the actors nominated. It's hard to bet against it for me. I do think Joachim Trier has kind of worked his way up to this point. That's where
it ties into something. It ties into something that will come up soon.
Okay. I look forward to this.
Yeah.
Another category is informing your choices. I think I know.
Oh, all right. I like it. I like the curveball.
All right. Next up we have original screenplay. Here we have Blue Moon from Robert Capa. It Was Just an Accident from Jafar Pahani in collaboration with Nadir Sevar Shadamer, Rustian, and Mehdi Mamadouine. A lot of names. Martin Supreme from Ronald Bernstein and Josh Safdie. Sentimental Value from Eskil Vogt and Joachim Trier. And Sinners from Ryan Coogler. Terrence, what do you have for original screenplay?
Congratulations, Ryan. It's going to be really cool to see you win an Oscar.
Mark?
Yeah, Sinners, no question.
Yeah, the WGA kind of handed out some awards recently, let alone just the very fact that it seems like it's locked up for Sinners. Sentimental Value, strong, with all the actors doing that acting and nominating them all, and I don't see it out of the...
Boy, if Sentimental Value wins...
That would... Twitter is going to blow up then.
It would. If I had to think of something that could unseat it, that'd be the one that I would think would do it, just by nature of it being just as heavily, very heavily nominated and being a movie about movies and whatnot. Like, there's something there, but because otherwise, I don't... Maybe it goes home empty-handed, or it just gets international film. I don't know.
We're due for another American Hustle.
Well, that's Marty Supreme. But anyway. Next up, we have adapted screenplay. Begonia from Will Tracy, based on the film Save the Green Planet by Zhang Zhuan. Frankenstein from Guillermo del Toro, based on the novel by Mary Shelley. Hamnet from Chloe Zhao and Maggie O'Farrell, based on the novel by Maggie O'Farrell. One Battle After Another, Paul Thomas Anderson, based on the novel Vineland by Thomas Pynchon. And Train Dreams from Clint Bentley and Greg Quidar, based on the novella by Dennis Johnson. Adapted screenplay. Mark, what do you have for here?
Thomas Pynchon. Oh, I'm sorry. One Battle After Another.
Terrence.
One Battle.
Yeah, it does seem like the two competitors that are going head-to-head are at least going to go home with one Oscar.
Why not?
Each.
It's easy. It's easy.
Neither of them are going home empty-handed. So.
And if they were smart, they would pair these things, or like they would pair the awards to like keep building the momentum in the show.
Okay. We'll see.
Be like, ooh, who's going to win Best Picture? They both took screenplay.
Don't they normally put the screenplays back to back together with each other?
No. Sometimes they split. They move. They split them.
Next up. Okay. Now we're in the actings. Actress in a supporting role. Elle Fanning in Sentimental Value. Ingda Ibsdottir Lilius for Sentimental Value. Amy Madigan in Weapons. Wunmi Musaku for Sinners. And Tiana Taylor for One Battle After Another. Mark, supporting actress.
So another interesting category. I mean, it was all about Tiana Taylor, you know, after the Golden Globes win. Then Wunmi Musaku won at BAFTA, but now the Actor Award gave it to
Madigan.
Amy Madigan. So I'm going to go with Amy Madigan.
Terrence?
This is an incredible category. And literally any one of these women could win.
I think three could definitely win. And I'm not sure if the Sentimental Value crew.
If they like Sentimental Value,
True.
You don't think that Inga could pull an upset given all of what she gets to do in that movie?
Seems like shade on Elle, but go on.
Well, she would be the one that I think could win the least, but I could see a surprise, an actress playing an actress that's not good but wants to be. That's a challenge, you know. That's
a good role. I agree.
It's a good role.
And she doesn't even speak the language of the country that the movie came out in.
I think against probably the smarts or historic Oscar stats, I think it's going to be Amy Madigan. Like women in horror.
Can I just say I loved Weapons. It was like one of my favorite films of the year, and. Mm-hmm. This win, it would be like Ruth Gordon winning for Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that there's something about it that I really like. And Amy Madigan, you know, she's been acting for a very long time. I do. She's married to Ed Harris. I just think I would like to see it. So, I mean, aside from the fact that I think she really did put in the work, I think she really deserves it. But I think there's also a backstory there that I really kind of like.
I'd agree, and with the supporting categories, you tend to get at least one that feels like, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but certainly like the groundswell support pays off, and the what seemed like an underdog turns into like a guarantee. And I don't necessarily think it's a guarantee, but I do think, you know, SAG and the CCA, for that matter, awarding Amy Madigan, does none of that hurts her chances here. Would I love to see Tiana Taylor win? Yes, I would. I'd like to will that into existence, but I just don't. At this point, it's hard to keep supporting that idea.
Are you switching your prediction from what you posted a little earlier today?
I switched that a couple minutes after I posted it earlier today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Cause I read it. Cause you know, I never read anything that you write.
You read it quickly. I switched it pretty quickly too. I was like, God damn it. I'm at Madigan. I mean, it's just like, there's too much here that like points in that direction at this point where it's like, how
the tough thing about the Academy, I just in general, is like, how cool will they be at any given moment, right? Because like Amy Madigan winning for Weapons is a cool win. Like when we look back at Oscar history, we think about the character, we think about how we, you know, the movie and the type of role, we'd be like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, but are they in like one battle or sinners is sweeping, so the actress is going to come with it? Are they in, oh, Elle Fanning, longtime child actor now? You know, like you just never know what mood they're going to be in.
Yeah. And I think just her running up on stage doing the run every time really helped her as well. I think that didn't. She's like, she's having fun.
It's very memorable.
Another reason why it would be a cool win is Weapons has no other nominations whatsoever. Yeah. So for her to actually win would be kind of, you know, a bit of a underdog story.
That's what worries me about it.
Oh, yeah. But we just needed to get Blue Moon a screenplay nomination. So, I mean, that's.
Although I will say, Aaron, I do hear what you're saying about Tiana Taylor. I've seen her give. Maybe more, but I know I've seen her give two truly great performances. One in One Battle After Another, the other one, 1001.
Yep.
I mean, she could have been nominated for that film.
She
I don't know.
She should have been.
Right? I think it was too small, and I don't think maybe people didn't know who she was at the time. But if she was to come out with 1001 now, that role is, I mean, flawless what she does in that film. So, I mean, I think what she does in that film is even more amazing than One Battle After Another. But I think. I have to think that Tiana Taylor, based on what I've seen, she's going to have other opportunities.
Yes, that's
hopefully.
That's the hope. It's wild. She's actually like, obviously she's like been in the industry a long time, but more so on the music side. But like she knows everybody.
That's like, why you look at all these controversies that happen, none of them involve Tiana Taylor, because everybody likes Tiana Taylor.
Yeah. Like, legitimately is friendly and works well with everybody and has now sort of like gotten these two bites at the apple of like critical acclaim and awards. So I could see her winning, Aaron. How devastated would you be if she won, but you switched
your prediction? And I go against her. I'd be it's happened before. I'd be fine with it, but it's because I'd be too happy. So it'd be nice.
I think,
if there's a silver lining, look at it, it's more like if she, you know, if she won here, does that, like, you know, how that can actually decrease an actor's drive, but certainly puts them in a different position where
I know what
the,
you mean.
The follow up isn't as good for as far as their other performances.
I know what you mean. Sometimes the Academy Award wins don't, for some reason, don't translate into a successful career. So,
well, especially for the black ones.
I was going to say, especially for people of color, you look at Cuba Gooding or Halle Berry, and it's not, it's not like Halle
or
Berry
Ariana
or Ariana. It's not, it's not like Jesus, Ariana's films. They're not her. It's like she's making choices that make sense. Like, that's the thing too. It's like, all right, we don't need to get into this.
Yeah,
let's go back. Also, Whitney Musaku, where you haven't talked about it at all, she won a BAFTA. I mean, like, she's not out of this race, and she's, it's a very good performance. And they're, it's another, they're both, you know, you got Sinners and Weapons, both horror movies. I mean, it's the fact that all these are here is just really cool. Like, you're not wrong about just using the word cool to describe these nominations. Like, it is a, it's a solid lineup of films that don't necessarily always get nominated for these kind of things. Speaking of, we got the monster coming up in the next category. We have the supporting actor. Benicio del Toro in Battle After Another. Jacob Elordi in Frankenstein. Delroy Lindo in Sinners. Sean Penn in One Battle After Another. And Stellan Skarsgård in Sentimental Value. Terrence, what do you have for supporting actor? This is one of the toughest categories for me.
Legit, the only person who is not going to win is Benicio. I can literally build an ironclad case for any of these other four men winning, which means it's going to Sean Penn for One Battle After Another, just because he's won so much. But I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked about any if Benicio won it. I would be on the floor. But the other ones.
He was the front runner at one point. If you follow these things, he.
I feel like he was the front runner for like the internet. But like, what does he actually won? That's where it comes down to.
Okay.
Like, I don't disagree with you. He certainly like had this building buzz as far as, isn't Benicio great in one? Everyone was talking about Benicio, but it's like he hasn't actually won anything. Like, he's just been around.
Sean. He's won. He's like steamrolling on the way to a third Oscar. In a way that's really fascinating.
I mean, when I saw One Battle, I'm like, Sean Penn gets this, right? Like, that was my initial thought watching that movie. It's like,
like I said, I can make a case for everybody other than Benicio.
I mean, I love the Jacob Elordi performance. I don't see it winning, but...
Well, if they love Frankenstein a lot more than I thought they would.
Sure. Do they love young men in this category? That was my question.
Can you imagine if he won it and Timmy didn't?
And all 7'9" of him stands up on stage. Mark, what do you have for best supporting actor?
So, again, 2 weeks ago, you would have asked me this. I would have said Stellan Skarsgård. Uh-huh. But I'm, you know, BAFTA and the Actor Awards, I'm going with Sean Penn. And the fact that he's won the award twice before, I realize that it's always about the work. But I do kind of feel like, gosh, I'm at the point where I would rather just give it to somebody else, you know, that. I mean, I thought Jacob Elordi was. I realize
he's phenomenal.
The male equivalent.
He's great.
He's the male equivalent of an ingenue, but he is really great in that movie.
Yes,
and
I agree.
So I would say him. I mean, as far as just my own personal feeling, I thought he brought so much to that role. But yeah, I can't disregard the wins that Sean Penn has already won. It's just, I don't know, two awards. And it's just, it starts to get, you know how there are certain actors where they've won so many times and you don't begrudge that they are talented. And Sean Penn is legitimately great in the film. I mean, yes. I've seen where he's doing the DNA test is like.
He reminded me of why he has two Oscars watching that movie. I'm like, oh yeah, Sean Penn's really great. He just hasn't been around for a while, or at least in like a notable movie for a while.
And Loki, I will say another thing. He has done absolutely no campaigning. Like he's not even trying to win this award. So I have to give him credit. Like, okay, well, you're not even trying to win it, and they want to give it to you. So, you know, you go, boy.
What has he done again? Like, I'm trying to remember. Like, I know he's beat up Madonna, I believe, right? Among other things, as far as his
He's just,
I'm not trying
raggedy.
To play these things down. Like, he's just, yeah, like, there's a scrap. But I'm trying to think, like, what has he done anything else recently that's, like, made? Because it seems like people, like, begrudgingly accept the fact that he's very good in this movie, even though they have some other thing against him. I'm like, what is the thing that he.
I don't, but I think.
Well, I mean, are you talking about his entire career? I mean, he was
not his
great.
Entire career. No, okay. No,
he's so entrenched. He's so entrenched in Hollywood at this point that it's like that something even more serious than the serious stuff that has happened would have to come out in order for that train to sort of get derailed. But I will, even though it would be wild to just have him cakewalking to this thing, it is nice that his wins will all come from work we genuinely regard as like good to great. Because some of these people with multiple Oscars, you cannot say that.
Sure. I have Sean Penn too, by the way. I like, yeah. Here's the thing. I dabbled with Delroy Lindo, but then I'm like, mild hinting at where we're going here, but like, are they going to award three black people in one night? So then I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's just not happening. Like, that's too many acting awards. That's the
logic. The most we've got is two in one night.
We got two in one night. You get a Barry and a Washington. There's been a couple at this point, but
was that Forrest and Monique? No.
Is it Forrest? No, it's not Forrest.
We've gotten Max too.
Yeah, Max too is. But regardless, it shouldn't be a factor. But yeah. At the same time, when I had Tiana, and I'm like, well, it can't also be Delroy. That doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not. I don't see that happening. But that's the thing. That I mean, Delroy has nothing coming into this. He's just coming in by sheer will. So I'm like, is that enough? Like, do they just really like Delroy? Did they really think they fucked up by not nominating for Five Bloods? Like, I don't know what's going on. So it seems like, it's like, is that possible? Like, he just outdoes everybody, even though everybody else has, like, won something or at least has some kind of esteem here. And then Stellan Skarsgård, it's like, well, what else is said? Like, he's an industry vet, right? He's been in all kinds of movies.
Right.
This is tough. And, like, two Oscars is one thing. Three Oscars.
Like, you know, Timmy said he wanted to be one of the greats. You win three Oscars, you legitimately are.
And I mean, as much as Sean Penn might not be liked by certain people, he's a very,
very exclusive club.
Sean Penn's he's liked at the Academy Awards. He's invited every year. He's always presenting. He's always doing something.
Yeah, although I heard he wasn't going this year.
That's supposedly the thing now. But doesn't mean votes are already cast at this point. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, Sean Penn, that's where we're at. We'll see what happens. 8'4", Jacob Elordi walks on that stage, or Benicio Del Toro shuffles in.
Jacob winning in Timmy Knot would just...
I know that's where your head's at with this.
I just know the discourse we would get. Ooh, it would be delicious.
All right. Are given for the night. Actress in a leading role, Jesse Buckley in Hamnets, Rose Byrne in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson in Song Sung Blue, Renate Reinsve in Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone in Begonia. We all have Jesse Buckley, I presume, in this.
Yeah,
Jesse Buckley should just be
on the stage. They need to put her in the front row so we don't waste no time.
She will be in the front row. She's in Hamnet. It's like one of the
might be in the second row. I'm saying don't even... Whatever the easiest access is.
Yeah, they need to seat her right by the bottom of the stairs so she doesn't trip or anything.
She'll be sitting there next to Leo. She'll be fine. They'll say the star of The Bride, Jesse Buckley, right there in bold letters.
How far did Jennifer Lawrence have to walk before she tripped up the stairs?
Yeah, but they did that on purpose.
Oh, it was Jennifer Lawrence. I said Emma Stone.
Yeah.
They did that on purpose. They knew what they were doing. Like, that's going to get good cable bucks if we have Jennifer Lawrence sitting far away. Okay, so Jesse Buckley and Hamnet. This is another one where
I know what you're gonna say.
If Rose Byrne won, I wouldn't be upset.
Let's just be happy with the nomination.
I am very happy with the nomination.
Let's just stay there.
It'd just be wild. Watch Kate Hudson win out of nowhere.
That's not happening.
It's not.
Even though she's had a good run year, the fact that she got nominated for this, I think, speaks.
That's the win, actually. And I thought it was
a good performance. I have nothing wrong with
her. She was effervescent in the movie, yeah.
I have no problem with her performance in the movie. The movie in general is fine. I don't dislike the movie. Right. It just, there's some good acting performances this year that ended like Kate Hudson.
I think she must be really well liked in Hollywood. I mean, she's
Hollywood royalty.
Yeah,
she is. You know, Goldie Hawn.
She's a princess.
And like, I think Running Point, Running Point, the Netflix show that she had last year coming out and in being as good as it was,
which is a fun show. Yeah,
I love that show. So yeah, I think it helped.
All right.
It's a bit of a redemption for her too. She's made a lot of like.
She came on strong enough, and she got an Oscar nomination, you know, 25 years ago, and
now, right,
and
then that's crazy.
Then it's rom com town for a while, and then you know nothing of merit by comparison. And now she's kind of back in a, you know, she's a little older and choosing more character centric parts. And here you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, actor in a leading role: Timothée Chalamet for Marty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon, Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. Mark, who do you have for actor in a leading role?
All right, a very strong category. I think this is
one of our best lineups in for actors in a while.
In forever.
Wonderful performances. I know I'm on an island with this because I can tell by the way you guys are talking. I'm going to go with Timothée Chalamet with Marty Supreme.
Mm.
Like a lot of the other ones you said up until 2 weeks ago, I was this, but you're still going with Chalamet for
Marty I'm going to hold. I mean, I can go into why, but
okay, the controversy came too late. It's not.
I don't think that's the reason, but
I don't think that's the reason either. Mm. But I do think that I know that the, well, go ahead. You guys give your picks.
Terrence.
I think that there is a lot of conversation between Michael and Chalamet, and I don't think we've had a surprise actor winner in a really long time. I think the two of them are going to sort of split, and I think Wagner Moura is going to win for The Secret Agent. Okay. I think people generally like him.
You telegraphed that earlier, so
yep. With international
I'm all about the bold choice. I don't think it's going to happen, but I admire it.
I'm a Michael B. Jordan, so ooh. I think this might be the only category we have a three-way difference on.
Right.
Yeah, this will be fun.
So I will say I get the reason to pick Michael B. Jordan because, I mean, he won SAG. But there are, you know, last year, Timothée Chalamet won SAG. For SAG,
yeah.
And then Adrian Brody won the Oscar. And so I really thought it would be hard for Timothée Chalamet to win SAG twice in a row. So I think this is where Oscar is going to reward Timothy. So
I think I certainly won't be shocked if he wins.
Me either.
I the only person I'd truly be shocked is if Ethan won, but we know that's not happening.
I mean, he's a four-time nominee. Way, I mean, like,
I have to tell you, Ethan Hawke is my own like personal favorite. I loved Blue Moon and that whole like story about musical theater and the imagining what I actually really enjoyed that movie a lot, but I guess I would be shocked as well, but I would kind of secretly be joyful because I really thought he was wonderful in that in a way that I
Michael winning would like thrill me to, I would jump up and scream if Michael won. I'd be so happy.
He's very good. So
I just wonder if the additions of the international members at the Academy, if all, I mean, other than Blue Moon, everybody else is in a Best Picture nominee, so lots of people have seen them. So yeah, I just went with Ragnar as sort of like he's like my one upset thing.
It'd be cool to see. He's a good actor who like just it's nice to see him just like rise this far as getting acknowledgement this year.
And your discussion of the fact that the body is international is a point well taken because SAG is a little bit more like Hollywood. And so that makes sense. Like Michael B. Jordan would win in that realm. But when you expand the voting body to all the key grips and the international films and things, I think the voting body is a little bit different. That tends to lean towards possibly Wagner Moura, but I think it also leans more towards Timothée Chalamet over Michael B. Jordan in that sense.
I think so. I think, yeah, it's this is a really great category. This will be a really fun thing.
It is. So many good performances. I mean, we didn't even talk about Leonardo DiCaprio, but he was.
Well, they say that's also where, like, if there's a split factor as far as Chalamet and Jordan goes, I think it might go to DiCaprio. I think that'd be like the default that it would hit.
That would be That would be really fun. We spent all those years waiting for Leo to get one. He got one for The Revenant. Hasn't really sort of been in the race. Was going to be nominated.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time also. Or is it?
But I mean, like, serious threat for the win. And now it's like, oh, Timmy, oh, Michael, Leo.
Well, Leo's, I mean, I guess Wagner's also, I mean, but is Leo older than Wagner?
I think so.
Let's see. Leo is, what, 51? How old's Wagner? Wagner is 49. No, Leo's the older man in this category. Yeah. No, Ethan Hawke's the older one, isn't he? Sorry, I forgot about Ethan Hawke for a second.
Any one of these winning would be nice.
You're not, I mean, look at when you like break that dam open, though. Remember, like, Mahershala wins twice, I don't know, or Christoph Waltz wins twice. Roger Deakins, after going nowhere for years, wins like a couple in a row.
Yeah, but those are sort of, that's what I said. Like, it just would be funny because, like I said.
Oh, sure. I get it. Yeah.
You know, it'd be like if Kate Winslet after The Reader, but like she hadn't won anything for Steve Jobs and suddenly it was like Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs, we'd be like, oh, this is great and wonderful.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stick to my guns. That'll be with Michael B. Jordan.
I would, if you hear somebody, if that happens, when you hear somebody jump up and scream, that's going to be me.
He is the current front runner.
Suddenly.
So. I just think he's the latest. I don't know. It's hard to know with this. All of these men, except for Leo, have won a precursor prize, you know? And so it's like, it's hard. It's like, yeah, he's got SAG and that was great. And the energy in the room was amazing. But like the SAG voting body, like you mentioned, it's Hollywood. The SAG after voting body is like the United States, right? It's two gigantic groups. So,
I mean, it's not the only thing he won for Sinners.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like they all, you know, they've all won something major. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Best director. Chloe Zhao, Hamnet, Josh Safdie, Marty Supreme, Paul Thomas Anderson, One Battle After Another, Joachim Trier, Sentimental Value, Ryan Coogler, Sinners. Mark, what do you have for best director?
I have Paul Thomas Anderson, One Battle After Another.
Terrence?
I, too, have Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay, so we're all with PTA for the winning on directing. I feel like that makes a lot of sense. He won DGA, among other things. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of, I hate it, but the it's his time nonsense. Where it's like, all right, he's been here for a while. Let's see if actually pull
one over. It was a great, he delivered a great film. So
I mean, it's my favorite movie of the year. I mean,
yeah. So it's more than just it's his time. He's, you know.
It's the combination of here's his latest one to get a bunch of these nominations, plus he's been here before. We're giving him all these other awards. Let's finally give him one. Let's finally give him the win. In the same way that I feel like Fincher will eventually get one of these or something, where it's like, yeah, he's been here a few times. Let's finally give him one. All right. Coogler could be an upset. Possibly. Maybe.
If
the Academy really likes Sinners.
I can't think of a better representative of being the first black person to win an Oscar than Ryan Coogler. He's like quite literally the realization of so many black directors' dreams. And it is unfortunate that not only was Paul Thomas Anderson there with the movie that he made, that it was the same studio. He's like, damn, even your friends, you gotta keep your enemies close. And unfortunately, you know, it's PTA is gonna win it.
All right, here we are. We've arrived at Best Picture. The nominees, we have Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, or Train Dreams. Terrence, what do you have for Best Picture?
This was not as difficult for me to contemplate as it seems to be for so many other people. I think it's going to be One Battle After Another.
All right. Mark?
I too, picked this without much thought. I will not be surprised if I'm wrong, however, but I went with One Battle After Another.
This is quite a close race, even though it doesn't seem like it should be. I have Sinners. I look at all of the things that One Battle has won, and for some reason I said, pshaw, and I'm still going with Sinners, which is not one of a number of things as well. It certainly has its own record here. I'm just going with the gut. I'm going with this idea that Sinners seems to have been doubted so many times, and then it just pulls up and does better than expectation, and I'm thinking, maybe it just goes all that way. Maybe it just pulls through and gets awarded. It would support my Michael B. Jordan pick, as well as other picks that it has throughout the night.
But you are going with Paul Thomas Anderson for director.
So yeah, I think there's going to be a split. I think it's
right.
We've had a lot more splits in the recent years than we haven't, which doesn't surprise me.
When you, because I read your article and I was going to tear you up when you had Tiana Taylor. I was like, so Tiana Taylor's winning supporting actress, but Sinners is winning best picture. So I won't tear you up on this, but I think it's interesting to think about if we think about some of the closer races that we've had with black films in the running. It's like we had 12 Years a Slave and Gravity, and we had Moonlight and La La Land.
That's the one. Moonlight and La La Land is the one where you say, but that happened. So that's what makes me think that if Sinners wins, I'll be like, well, there is a precedent for this kind of,
I think,
a shock.
I would once again be overjoyed and thrilled and jumping for joy. I think Sinners is better than One Battle After Another.
I want to say one thing,
both
though.
Both of your top 10.
Yeah, they're both like, my top 10.
And here's the other thing. I love both Moonlight and La La Land. However, the disparity between Moonlight and La La Land is greater than Sinners and One Battle After Another. Those two films have more in common. So for One Battle After Another to win, its sensibility is still more in line. I don't know. It's not. La La Land and Moonlight are like two great films, but on diametrically opposed, opposite ends of what they're presenting. So that's what made that sort of win. So Moonlight, I love La La Land, but that made the win so kind of delicious because it was so unprecedented.
It felt very like 1950s era Hollywood, where it's like you could get we had a lot more splits, right? Or even something like Godfather and Cabaret, where it's like Cabaret is just gobbling up all of these things. But ultimately, they felt like Godfather is a superior picture. And it's funny that you mentioned, it's like the drama versus the musical, right? And so if we look at this race, maybe Sinners would be considered more of the genre musical thing, and One Battle is more of the drama. So it's
funny, a very interesting race. Sinners is more of the musical, but One Battle, it's more of a comedy than Sinners.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still...
I know what you're saying.
It's still more in their wheelhouse. When was the last time a horror movie won Best Picture?
Depends on your definition, but Silence of the Lambs would be the general go-to on that one.
Probably. Yeah, that would be my... And that was 91?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So we certainly are due. We certainly are due.
And there's also the logic that people like to say. It's like, it's not really a horror movie. It's more of a musical drama with horror elements. And
it's a horror movie, please. Yeah. Vampires by
Sinners. Sinners is most definitely a horror movie.
People have a stigma against saying horror when it comes to movies, so they want to
be elevated, right?
Yeah, they want to play it down. There's like, The Exorcist is not really a horror movie. It's more of like a psychological drama with supernatural elements.
Oh my god! Yeah, with all that. All
who the are these people?
I think I like you going out on this limb. I don't think.
All greats for that $100,000 paycheck that we're going to get. Whoever wins this, obviously. So
yeah, I just think it's. Because a lot of people point to the SAG, and I'm like, that is very important. But One Battle was nominated there, so it's not like it won without it. And One Battle won the Globe, it won the BAFTA, it won DGA, it won PGA, it's winning all of these other guilds. Sean Penn is going to win. It just...
Any number of these things, like there's always these number of precursors that say no one's ever done this.
I don't even put like heavy weight in, like, oh my god, Sinners can't win because it didn't win these precursors. I just think
common sense dictates.
I just think Sinners needed to win a little more for me to take it even more seriously than I do. For me to predict it, no, but not that it can't win. Like
it's no, I mean, I look could, at I look at things like groundswell support. Like again, yeah. Delroy Lindo is in this category. Like mm-hmm. why? Like nothing else said that he should be here, and yet well, here he is for the Academy Award after nothing said he should be.
And to your point, 16 Oscar nominations, more than any other film in history. So they like it. Yeah, so we shouldn't be surprised if it won, given that statistic.
Yeah, I mean, yes, obviously, One Battle is naturally the thing I was fighting against as far as what should I go for here. But in addition to wanting to have a ballot that like has something that sticks out when it comes to these front runners and which one you're supposed to pick, it's like I'm just going with the feeling on this, and like mm-hmm. that's where I'm ending up right now. Terrence, you gonna say something?
10, 11, 12, 13. So no, I was trying 13, to count up the 13. Yeah. The amount that One Battle had, like,
no slash,
yeah, 13 is a lot. Yeah. So that's it'll be very interesting. I will be screaming even louder as soon as One Best Picture. That would be incredible. It would truly be incredible.
Yeah, there's not like little engines that could over here. There's a lot of big heavy players that are in this category.
I mean, in Moonlight is better than La La Land, so. So Moonlight is one of the best things the Academy has ever done. I certainly wish it would have had its singular moment.
Why? What happened?
You know, I wish it would have had.
Did something go wrong during that ceremony?
You know, and then a few years later, we saw somebody get slapped. So Sinners getting to win that and getting the singular moment would be great. I just think. You know, One Battle is right there.
Well, we shall see. That's it. That's our. We've gone through all the categories.
Oscar goes
here.
To Hamnet.
Hamnet. Begonia.
Hamnet. I could see Hamnet. I could see
Hamnet was like the favorite when it like first premiered it. Whatever.
Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody it was like, oh my god, you guys don't
crying for some reason.
Aaron, you would be so mad. If Hamnet won.
Again, I don't dislike Hamnet.
Dead last.
Yeah, but I still give it 3 stars. Terrence doesn't like Hamnet, so talk to him about it.
Terrence dislikes Hamnet.
So.
I was with Hamnet for large stretches of it, and then as we marched toward the end, I said, oh no.
What? That the ending is the best part of that film.
It came
together in that scene where she just finally realized, this is what my husband has been doing all this time. I get it now.
I was like, what is Max Richter playing his very famous song?
I like that moment minus the music. I think the acting in that scene is tremendous. Anyway.
So how many Oscars do you have Sinner winning? You have a winning casting?
I have it at three, personally. I think six.
Oh, six.
Yeah, because you've got it winning actor,
picture, casting, screenplay,
score.
Maybe it's just five.
Yeah, I have One Battle at six and Sinners at three, but those are the ones that are winning the most.
Yeah, it must be five. Then I have One Battle.
Yeah, this feels like a spread the love.
Yeah,
year,
which I think always punishes me. So I think every time I do that, it's always failed. It's always like some kind of sweep.
Four, five. Yeah, I have One Battle at six. Sinners at three. I guess Frankenstein at three. K-pop is at two.
You're spreading it more than I am.
Secret Agent is at two. Yeah, but barely.
Yeah.
Right? You know, actor goes one way and then it's like, okay. Yeah, it feels like I genuinely think that like, unless something is extremely undeniable, that, like, spreading the love... I kind of like the Oscars and spread the love mode more than I do, too. I love 9 out of the 10 Best Picture winners in the 90s. And am totally fine with, like, the big epics sweeping.
What's your dislike of the 90s? Hold on there.
I have to... Dances with Wolves is the one that's popping into my mind.
Dances with Wolves? Okay.
90s Best
Picture. I wouldn't necessarily vote for it, but I don't dislike the movie.
Oh, I will say, just kidding. It's Braveheart. I blocked Braveheart out of my mind.
I like Braveheart. And, you know, it's me, bad. I hate Mel. I dislike Mel
for
a lot.
For me, it's from 90s movies. It's Forrest Gump. It's the one I would kick out.
Oh, no.
Shawshank Redemption? Come on. It was right there.
Well, I mean, that would be incredible, too, but I love Forrest Gump.
I mean, Shawshank wasn't winning anything then.
In that era, but now, in retrospect,
I think Pulp Fiction would still have something to say about it that year as well.
Oh, okay. But that at the very too cool least, for though, Academy. Forrest Gump should not have been winning that award.
I'm fine with
Forrest. I didn't take you for a Forrest Gump hater, Mark. Didn't really
I love Forrest Gump. I'm sorry.
I love Forrest Gump, too. I wouldn't necessarily pick it, but I
said... You know, there's a corniness to it that I didn't warm up to. And I know I do sometimes enjoy that sort of sentimental kind of style, but in that movie, it didn't... I didn't warm up.
I mean,
up
this
to
is
it.
A great 94 is a phenomenal lineup. Quiz Show is like one of the most underrated Best Picture nominees of all time. But yeah, like I don't mind the big epic sweeps of The English Patient and Titanic and Shakespeare in Love
It is funny how we've said all these films we dislike, and like Shakespeare in Love is the one that gets off. It's like, yeah, that's fine. That's the one you're like, okay.
No, I love Shakespeare in Love.
I know you do. It's just like you mentioned like Braveheart and Forrest Gump, and like Shakespeare in Love. It's like, yeah, that one's fine. That's the good one. That's interesting.
Because it is, it's a great
movie. You wouldn't hear that very often, is my point. It's like, that's
yeah,
the one
that's
that
gets, true.
Yes.
There's such a groupthink with like, what are the 10 films that should have never won Best Picture. And it's like, it's always the same 10 films. And it's like, come on, like you're just copy and pasting the same article that you've seen like for the last 10 years. I want to hear something different.
Oh, I'm convinced that, because I saw that USA Today list. I'm like, I'm convinced they've never actually watched movies before. They just put together a list based off of like,
what did they say?
AI. Like all the standards, like Crash.
Well, somehow Greatest Show on Earth is always on there.
Greatest Show on Earth.
Well, that movie is.
No, there's some that are like legit. Like, yes, they don't like
that. Around the World in 80 Days.
Around the World in 80 Days. Yeah, I think was Gigi on there.
Gigi is bad. Yes,
I don't think that was on that one, but yeah,
it gets grouped in generally a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
they managed to include Slumdog Millionaire,
that threw me off. And I'm like,
normally see that included, but I was like, okay, that's the one thing that, I mean, I love that film, but that's the one film that made their list a little bit more unique.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. The Oscars are on Sunday, March 15th, Hollywood's biggest night. We have our predictions here. Obviously, though, if in the event of a tie, we need to find a way to break that tie. So, of course, we go with the runtime of the Oscars. The Oscars starts at 4 p.m.
Yeah, didn't they move? They moved up a bit.
Well, no, it's 4 p.m. They keep saying 7, even though it's East Coast time. And it's like confusing because it says 7 everywhere. It's like, why don't you like make it clear that it's 4 one place? And regardless, it's 4 o'clock. Because it'll be like the is it even 4 o'clock? Or is it like the red carpet bullshit and all that? Like, when is that?
Probably at 2.
I have so.
It's great. They did scoot it up an hour, I think, because
it never starts at 3. It's always
The East Coast companies were like, stop this, this madness. we want to air the whole show, but you keep cutting into the evening news or something.
All right. So regardless, the show starts and it's going to end eventually. What have been the past run times? What's the Oscar run? Because we always seem to like not.
I wish we could like give our picks and then without each one knowing, because obviously going last is going to be the easy. You know, just pick a time that's higher that's 1 minute longer than everyone else.
Here, okay, we can do it this way. Here, get into Zoom, go in your chat, and we can each type a number and then all press enter at the same time. How about that?
Oh gosh.
Okay.
Let me think of my thing.
Open. Let me give you some context here. Let's see. The average show is.
We don't need context. We'll just
you don't want anything.
In.
You just want to just number. Okay, fine. Whatever.
So we're gonna do it in terms of minutes, right?
In terms of
hours and minutes.
Hours and minutes.
Hours and minutes. Oh, okay. All right.
So let's assume 2 and then minutes, unless you want to throw 3.
2. Yeah. Yeah. Do 2 hours, Aaron.
No, I meant 3. I meant
2 hours. They'd be flying through that thing.
All right. God, how long is this Oscar?
All right. You ready?
They said the memorial's going to be longer this year. Okay. I'm going to go with this.
Three,
two,
two, one.
You guys are going long. All right. Okay, so Terrence, you have 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay. Mark, so see, if I had said 3 hours and 40 minutes and then Terrence said 3 hours, 45 minutes, I would be like, how dare you?
Yeah, so I was already thinking, I think me and you are thinking alike in terms of.
Yeah, but so no, I respect it because it's like, okay, you had no idea what I was going to put.
So you guys are pretty long shows. 3 hours and 45 minutes, 3 hours and 40 minutes.
That show is long, Aaron.
Okay, Mark.
They don't know how to edit. And I swear, every year they say, this is the year we're going to cut it down. And then they eliminate all this stuff and it ends up being longer.
They have added a category.
I don't mind a long show.
I don't mind a long show. If I'm watching the Oscars, I'm watching the Oscars. I'm not sitting there being like, when's it going to be over? Like, that's why I'm here, to watch this. Mm-hmm. Like, sure. Yes.
3 hours and 21 minutes, Aaron. That's like a record.
I want the show to move. Sure, I don't want it to be a bad show, but like, it's not like I sat the Oscars like, oh no, I can't believe it's long. Like, what a surprise. All right. I was trying to find the recent stat. I can't find it. It was just giving me the length of Best Picture winners, and I was like, that's not what I'm asking for. Good job, Google. All right. Well, so yeah, 345 Tarrant, 340 Mark, 321 me. So we shall.
So you're
see.
Thinking like. Oppenheimer year was 320. Last year it was 350.
Oh boy. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 350 last year?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Which I didn't even realize it was.
The year
that
before
long.
It was 337.
Well, to be fair, this and is the last year was the first year that had a host in a while. Well, no, they had Jimmy Kimmel. But like, okay. Like there was these weird years where they like do more or less host stuff, right? So
yeah.
Are we excited about Conan?
Yes. Give me all the Conan you want.
I'm excited.
I don't care about the hosts.
All right.
Well, I think he'll be very fun, but I'm just like
you're sitting there chewing your nails too much, worried about the fucking awards.
No, I'm just like, let's get to the award, because sometimes I think the hosts and some of the extra stuff they plan take away from like the winners. Like if you're worried about people's speech times and stuff, like let's just get to the.
When it's bad, I agree with you. Yes. When you're like, let's escort random people from the crowd into the studio to like high five Denzel
and
all that bullshit.
And your favorite, bring out the five previous winners.
Oh my God. Are we done with that? Or
I hope not. I actually love it.
I know some of you guys like that so much.
Last year I liked the mix where they brought like the actors to talk about costuming.
I like that more. The three of us actually talked about that. In theory, I think that was a good idea, but some of it was like too incongruous.
They just need to speed it up.
Either speed it up or like at least make it feel like it makes more sense to do it with certain things. Like some of it
or
like,
get Melissa McCarthy and Brian Tyree Henry to dress up in mashup costumes of all the nominees again. That was one of my favorite Oscar bits of all time.
Yeah. So, well, we don't need another magic trick from Neil Patrick Harris. That's the last thing.
Oh my gosh, please. Yes.
Okay.
Anything else?
Mark, Terrence, I think we're set here with our predictions. We shall reconvene Sunday night. Yes. Very cool. Good.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. As we usually do, should be a lot of fun to go over what happened, who won, and all that. Yeah, that's going to do it for this bonus episode. So, Terrence, where can people find more of you online?
You can find my work at lenoirtour.net. I'm on Twitter at Terrence B. Johnson. And you can find me talking about all of the Godzilla movies and TV shows and other things on an award-winning podcast called Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla.
Mark Coben, where can people find more of you?
You can read my reviews on my personal site, fastfilmreviews.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Everything I do can be found on my personal Substack page, codisease.substack.com. I do as well co-host Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. So there's two recommendations for that show for you. And yeah, this podcast, be found everywhere you can find podcasts. You know where we are. We're on all the socials and all that. Feel free to follow along with us. And again, come back on Sunday, well, probably Monday, because I'll post it pretty quickly as I can with our results show. But until then, that's going to do it. Terrence, Mark, thank you both for joining me for this prediction special.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to be here.
And I look forward to how things shake out, and we shall see on Hollywood's biggest night this Sunday. But until then, so long and goodbye.
If I could write a note to my younger self, here's what I'd say. Everything you're feeling now won't always keep you down. There'll be better days.